This week's parasha, Parashas Pekudei, Perek Mem, begins with Moshe setting up the Mishkan. Be'echad lachodesh tokim es haMishkan oil moed. Moshe is told to set up the Mishkan. We know for the first 7 days, we're told that Aaron was not allowed to leave. He had to sit with Pesach oil moed. So Ramban over here on the Pasuk asked the Kasha, that we know that every day, that during the Shivus Yemei HaMiluim, Moshe took down the Mishkan, and he built it again. He took it down and every single day. So if he took it down, the Mishkan, every single day, how is it possible that Aaron stayed inside for 7 days? It didn't exist at the time that the Mishkan was down. So Ramban answers and says that when it says Moshe took it down every day, it doesn't mean he took it down for a few hours and then put it back up. He took it down for a second, put it right back up again. It was only a second it was down. So Aaron was there all 7 days. See, even after you've learned the Ramban, it's still a little difficult to understand, because for that second, Aaron wasn't sitting in the Mishkan. So Chasam Sofer says a beautiful pshat. The Chasam Sofer says, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Perek Eluk Shorim, that says, Chizki asks Rabbi Yochanan Shaila, what happens if you have a keli and the keli gets a hole in it? So if the keli gets a hole, the keli was tome and it gets a hole, the tumah goes away, it's no longer a keli. But that's only if the hole is big enough, kamoitzi rimon, the size of a pomegranate. If the hole is smaller than that, the keli remains tome because the keli still has a use. So what happens is the keli got a hole, but not the size, it was less than a pomegranate. So it's still tummy. You patched it up. Then it got another hole, less than a pomegranate. It got another hole, less than a pomegranate. You kept patching it up. By the time you finished, the whole keli was a new keli. It was all the patches there. So is it tummy still? There was no time when it got a hole in it that the hole was bigger than the size of a pomegranate. So do you say that since it remained tummy the whole time, it remains tummy? Or do you say there's nothing left of the original keli? Rabbi Yochanan answers Chizkiya, and he says, Ponim Chadoshes Balakan. You have over here, Ponim Chadoshes, a new keli. Chizkiya says, wow, what a great svara. He says, Lestein Bar Inish. This person is not a person. He's not a man. Rashi says, Malachu. He's a Malach. So first of all, just incidentally, Reb Chaim was once giving a shir. He was giving a shir, and there was a Hasidish person in the shir, and he says, Reb Chaim, I don't understand you. You're saying it's Tzvei Dinim. And this sugya means this. This sugya means that. It's the same Loshen in both places. How can you say that it means two different things when it's exactly the same language in both places? So how can you say it's Tzvei Dinim, two Dinim, two different Dinim, when it's the same language? So Reb Chaim says, according to you, the language always means the same. So when this Gemara says of Eponim Chadoshes, that means you can take a keli and use it for Shever Brochus, or a new person of the Shever Brochus. Eponim Chadoshes, you need the Shever Brochus. Take a keli like this. It's Eponim Chadoshes. You see from this Gemara, there's such a thing as Tzvei Dinim. There's two different, you can use the same word, means different things. The Chasam Sofer says, the Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he do? He took down one board and put it back. The next board, put it back. The next board and put it back. So it comes out by the time he finished, every board had been taken down. What is it? Panim Chadoshes. It's a new Mishkan. So he had taken down the whole Mishkan, but Aaron never left all 7 days, because there was no time when the Mishkan was down. He answers Ramban's Kasha like that. Then, this is incredible, what does he do? With that, he explains the rest of the Gemara. He says, Chizki says, Rabbi Yochanan, Lestein Ban Inish, he's a Malach. What does he mean by that? Panim Chadoshes is a nice Svara, but that's called as a Malach because he thought of this Svara. What's Pshat? So he says, Pshat is like this. Chizkiya had always wondered, when did Rabbi Yochanan become a Malach? One morning he woke up and he was a Gadol HaDor. Is that what happened? It doesn't work like that. How does one become a Rabbi Yochanan? How does one become a Gadol? Just like Moshe put down one board, put the next one, the Keli, patched up and patched up and patched up, and it became Ponim Chadoshes, with a person as well. You keep adding and adding and adding. There's no specific time. All of a sudden, it's Ponim Chadoshes, a new person. That's how Rabbi Yochanan came to be a Malach. When I was in yeshiva, there was a bachur in yeshiva who learned in Gateshead, who was not from the top Bochrim. It's a good Bochrim. But when they talked about the top Bochrim in Yeshiva, he wasn't from the top Bochrim. One thing he did, he learned a lot of Mishnah Berurah, and everybody knew that he knew Mishnah Berurah cold. But nobody would have listed him as from the best Bochrim. And then I heard, 20 years later, this Bochrim was a Rav in Bnei Brak of a few hundred people. The other people with the big lamdom, they didn't become a Rav of a few hundred people. He sat and he learned Mishnah Berurah, and he chazed it, and he learned, and he learned, and he knew Mishnah Berurah cold. And from that, he built on further, and further, and further, and he became mamish. To be a Rav in Bnei Brak with a few hundred people, the big lamdonim there, you have to be something special. If I had to pick somebody in the last generation who was a malach, who I saw, I would say it was a stipler. The stipler was somebody who went into him, it was scary. Rav Shach, you could talk to, Rav Moshe, Rav Yankiv. But he came to the stipler, he went into his room, he had a pachad there. He was mamash a malach. If I describe somebody's malach, it would be him. And he also was not known. When he was young, he wasn't from the best Bochrim. But he was an unbelievable masmid, and he became the stipler. And he was asked to Shaila, like this. The stipler himself was asked, come upon him. He says, many times, Talmidim come to him, young Talmidim. They go into Beis Medrash, they learn 2-3 years, a tremendous asmada and cheshek, and they feel a geshmak in their learning. And then, all of a sudden, they start falling, and they're miyayish. They give up hope. They say, I'm not getting anywhere. How much do I know? I don't see any siman brach in my learning. And he says, and they think they can never make it in learning. And it's a big mistake. It's the Yetzirah that. Every Talmud can make it, he says. It'd be matzliach. Every daf you learn, first of all, is a kinyan. It's hatzlocha in Torah. Every tosis you understand is hatzlocha. And he says, and you keep doing it, and you keep learning, you keep adding. In the end, you'll become something. You just keep adding and adding and adding. The mistake Bochrim make very often, though, is they don't chazah. It's true. If a guy goes through 4 years in Beis Medrash, he can look back, I don't know anything. I don't blame him for being miyash if he doesn't know anything. And there's a good chance that very often happens. Without chazorah, it's not going to happen. You have to make sure what you learn, you know at the time you're learning it properly, and then you go over it again. When you're learning Masechta, it's not you're on Daf Yud Gimel, you pull out the first 12 blot, done that one, throw that one out. No, you have to keep going over the first 12 blot beforehand as well. You're learning Bekiyas. You have to go over it and make sure you know it. And then next year, you chazah this year's Masechta. That is the way you have atzlocha. You build up. If every year you finish the Masechta, you're learning 120 blot. So after 4 years, you're close to 500 blot. And then on the side, people learn Masechta Megillah, Masechta Tanis, Sukkah. These are things you can learn on the side. And you have a nice chelik of shas already. Yesoid is Tamedius. That you keep doing bit by bit by bit and you build up. Without Tamedius, you don't make it. And Tamedius is the Yesoid in Yiddishkeit. You look in the Mishkan, the word is over and over again, the word Tomid. By the Lechem Aponim, Lefonai Tomid. Lahalos Ne'er Tomid, by the Menorah. By the Keteris Tomid, by the Tzitz Tomid, always Tomid. Ribbono Shel Olam wants us, Tamedius, consistency. And we see that in the Megillah as well. The Sfasema says, that what's Pshat in the Pasuk, that Mordechai, b'chol yoim v'yoim, Mordechai b'tzhalach, every day went to check on Esther. Very nice. He was a nice person. What do we care? Why is that a chelik of the Megillah? What is it teaching us, that posuk? Everything in the Megillah is a chelik of the Neis. How is that a chelik of the Neis? So he says, when somebody is sick, so what happens? Everybody, oh, you never hear about this person. And everybody asks about him. And they ask for a week. They ask for a month. And if you're lucky, 2 months. And then everybody forgets. Forget about it. Somebody Nebuch is an almon as a widow. Everybody at the time, what can I do to help and get involved? And they do that for a month, 2 months, 6 months. 2 years later, nobody thinks about the person. She needs just as much help, more help then. And nobody takes interest. B'chol yoim v'yoim. Mordechai saw Esther was a yesoima. She was taken into the Beis HaMelech by force. She was tzabroch and broken-hearted. Every day he went to Mechazika to check up on her. 5 years straight, every single day. That's Tamedius. Because he did that, he went every day. He was Zoiches at Tzvas Emes. But Omrim Melov, Yoim Yoim. Every day they would say to him, how can you start up with Haman? How dare you? What a chutzpah you have. You're going to get killed because of that. He was able to go and fight against Haman and anger Haman every day and be Menatzeach and win. His B'chol Yoim V'Yoim, he was Zoiches to be able to create the Nes and to fight with Haman b'chol yom v'yom. Rav Pam says in this week's parasha an important yesod in life, and the Torah stresses this yesod. He says, "V'yakil b'kudei are repeats. You have truma, you have tzaveh. Another 122 psukim v'yakil. Another 92 psukim b'kudei. Every letter in the Torah is chashivas. Nothing was written without a reason for it. So why is it so much repetition over here?" So he explains that he's teaching you a chiddush, and the chiddush he wants to drive home. There's one big difference between the two parashiyos. In parashiyos Vayakel Pekudei, over in parashiyos Tshuma Tzava, you see the word Vayaz, Vasisa, and you shall make. There's a tzivui to make, a plan to make. And very often in life, we have plans. But having plans doesn't mean it's going to be carried out. Doesn't mean they'll come to fruition. Over here, there were plans. Vasisa you shall make. But Vasisa became a Vayaz. And it shows you again and again, Vayakel Pekudei, that Vasisa became a Vayaz. This keli was made. That keli was made. This beggar was made. Vayaz, they did it. And so too in life, people have magnificent plans. But what happens? Comes to Elul, Yom Neroim, people make Kabbalahs. How long does it last? It doesn't last too long. Daf HaYomi, 120,000 people go to the Siyam. Tremendous excitement. I remember the day after the Siyam, in our Sameach, Rabbi Rakowski gives a shiur. Brochus began. There were over 90 people at the Brochus when he began Brochus the next day. By the end of Brochus, it dwindled a lot. And then starts Shabbos, it gets more difficult. And as the Welt says, Bar Shabbos, Bar Menucha. A few weeks later, it was down to 30, 40 people. The same ones that had been beforehand, they were coming again. The new ones, most of them, had dropped out. People have so many plans in life. But what happens with old plans? The Torah wants to teach you how important it is, not just to have the plans, but to carry out those plans as well. Rabbi Leib Steinman, in his Sefer Yad Shachar, he has a beautiful pshat at the beginning of the parasha. It says, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus. Rashi says, what's Mishkan HaEdus? Edus in Yisrael, it's an Edus. Shevitel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Egel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave the Chet HaEgel. What's the Raya? Shari Hishra Shechinosei B'neihem. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his Shechin among us. He gave us a Mishkan. Is a Raya he forgave the Chet HaEgel? Ask Rabbi Leib, a kaposhta kasha. The pasuk says in Achrimois, Hashoichin itom besoich tomosom. He dwells among them, even though they are tomei. Rashi says, Aval pi shein tomeim shchina b'neim. Even though they're tomei, the shchina is there. So if so, what's the raya? Hakadosh Baruch Hu forgave the chet ha'egel, even for tomei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells among us. So maybe he didn't forget about the eagle. Maybe we were still Tommy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu still rested the Shechina. What's the Raya? Says Rabbi Leib, there's a big difference. In life, beginnings are very important. The Pasuk says, Toiv achris dover berishisoi. Simple pshat in the Pasuk is, all's well that ends well. Toiv achris dover merishisoi. The end is better than the beginning. But that's not what the pasuk means. What the pasuk means is, Toiv achris dover. When does it work out well in the end? Merishisoi. When it begins well. When a person starts off well, it's easy to keep it going well. When you start off wrong, in a bad way, it's much harder to fix it. When you come to ninth grade and you mess up at the beginning, it's much harder to fix it. It can still be done, especially if you still do it in ninth grade. Even 10th grade, you get to 11th, you're over halfway through, then it's much harder. It takes a lot of effort. There are people who have messed up their lives at the end, fix them up. But the longer you leave it, the harder it is. The beginning is the most important. Put things in the right direction. The foundation of the building is the most important. Cracks in the foundation will destroy the building later on. So, yes, it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rest the Shechina among us, even if we're Tommy. But that is when the Shekhinah is there already. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not taking away because we're Tomei. But to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rest the Shekhinah when we're Tomei, the Klal Yisrael did an eagle, then nation which is Tomei, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rest the Shekhinah, that can't be. The only way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu began resting the Shekhinah, it must be he forgave the Chet HaEgel. He wouldn't have began like that, resting the Shekhinah. Yes, it's there already. He would have kept the Shekhinah there. But this is a raya for he forgave the Chet HaEgel. The Pasuk, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Says, Kol Hazor Ve'Oselem Locho. It calculates how much gold there was. Tells you a whole amount of the gold. Then it tells you how much silver there was. And when it tells you the silver, it tells you exactly what they did with the silver. How come by the silver it tells you what they did with it, and by the gold it doesn't tell you what they did with it? Why doesn't he give din v'cheshbon on the gold? So Rabbi Yonis Naibish, in the Sefer Tiferes Yonison, he explains that who gave the silver? The silver came from Machtas HaShekel. Who gave that? Everybody. So when everybody gives, you've always got people who are going to be suspicious. Wow, they took in so much. Somebody must have lined their pockets a little bit. They didn't use everything. Where did all the money go? I hear people talking about yeshivas. Oh, they must be making nice salaries there. Make a calculation. How much tuition's coming in? They're doing okay, the people. The principals are taking nice money. The yeshiva there is doing okay for himself. People always are suspicious. That stock organization, I wonder how much they're making on the side. People ask kashas. So therefore, Moshe said, a cheshbon. He told them everything. Check up the amount we got in and look what we used it for. He opened up the books to the people. But when it came to the gold, who gave the gold? Kol Nediv Lev is people who wanted to give. Tzadikim gave. Those type of people don't question. Those people give with a Nediv Lev. They're accepting. Whatever Moshe did is okay. It's fine with us. We know who Moshe is. We know he's doing the right thing. There, the Torah didn't have to give a cheshbon. Moshe didn't have to give a cheshbon what it was being used for. How are we doing? Okay, I'll do a short version of the next vod. Of the Pasuk says, I think it's Mem around Mem Chafalef. Vayikach vayitin es edus el orin. Moshe put the luchos in the orin. Vayoves orin, and then he brought the orin into the Mishkan. That's different from all the other kelim. All the other kelim, first he brought the menorah in, then they put the shemen in. They brought the shulchan in, they put the lechem on. Here, first he put the luchos in, then he brought into the Mishkan. Why was that? And the answer is very simple. Is because the Orin is not an Orin without having the Luchos in it. He had to bring the Orin in. It's not the Orin is a Keli and you put the Luchos in it. What makes the Orin into a Keli is the Luchos. So first he had to put the Luchos in. Now the Keli is ready, he can put it inside. And that's why you see in Bayis Sheni, there was no Luchos, there's no Luchos, there's no Orin either. You can't have an Orin without a Luchos. Have a good chance. Yeah.